For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoints Africa podcast, remote edition. My name is Muiwa.
My name is Oluwani Femi.
I'm Emmanuel.
And I'm Tej.
So this is the second week running that we are recording the podcast remotely. If you've been following the news about what is going on in Nigeria with the End-SARS movement and even what happened this week, the Lekki massacre, there's a curfew in Lagos right now. So some of us are in Lagos and we're recording from our homes, and because we can't get to our studio. So we had to bring the podcast to you. So we're recording all of this remotely. And speaking about the Lekki massacre, very, very sad.
Yeah,
very, very sad moment.
Very sad. Yeah.
In the history of Nigeria.
It's heartbreaking.
Very, very sad.
And for somebody in my generation that didn't experience the civil war or any kind of unrest in my lifetime, it shook me to the... in fact, it shook me. It seriously shook me, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't expect it. Who would have thought that all the while last week I was filled with hope that something was actually going to work in Nigeria, and all of a sudden, everything was gone. In fact, it was so heartbreaking. And
so, for those of us who don't know, the Lekki massacre, October 28th, protesters were, as usual, gathered at Lekki toll gate in Lagos, as well as other parts of Lagos and Nigeria. And then, because of rising violence by thugs and hoodlums all over Lagos, the Lagos State governor, Sanwo-Olu, called for a curfew effective by 4 p.m. But he called for this curfew by noon, just before noon. So 4 hours was not enough for people to get home. And apparently, I didn't even know the curfew was
Extended
time for the COVID was extended,
and it was around 7
to 9 p.m.
announced the extension. Or was this
the extension? Exactly. So, not enough time for people to get home. So, some people were stuck. They realized that they rather stay there than trying to get home because Lagos traffic is legendary. And then, next thing we know, we started seeing live broadcasts by DJ Switch on Instagram and different posts about Nigerian soldiers. At protesters. Yeah.
Before then, I think images were released about some officials that came around to remove the CCTV camera at the location. And while it was getting dark too, it was also reported that the lights on the street went off, and the light from the and the billboard display, the large one that's at the toll gate, went off too. So that those were the like things that happened before we started seeing gory images, and it was terrible, and
really terrible.
I was so proud this time last week. I was so proud, like, my generation is doing something huge like this. Even when the curfew was announced, I was like, and I was seeing posts like, we are going to stay here. I was beaming with pride, like, what is the worst that can happen? And then we were getting information that whatever that might happen, the military cannot do anything when you're waving the flag and you're singing the national anthem. So you just imagine how rest assured I was that no casualty will happen. And then we started seeing the live stream of DJ Switch and live bullet on people's body on the floor. It was terrible. It was a terrible night on the 20th of October.
And then now the Nigerian army is saying it's all fake news, that none of their soldiers were involved in the shooting. Facebook seems to be also corroborating that they appear to have removed it now, but many posts and pictures were flagged on Facebook as fake news.
Yes, especially
which was interesting.
Yes, that it was noticed just on Wednesday that I saw it that some images with some with sewed flag, Nigerian flag sewed with blood, images of people of corpses, images of people that died. They were all flagged as false information, and it was said that it's because some people, they are called independent fact checkers, have actually confirmed that they are false. That is why they have flagged that you can't see them. I was surprised because for Twitter to be part of this movement all the while, and for Instagram to be the platform where the live stream was made, and because Facebook is also Instagram is also
Facebook.
Yes, it's also on Instagram that a very popular influencer on my timeline actually had to create another user account, anticipating that our current account would be flagged or deleted because she posted a lot of these things, and now everything has been flagged false, despite the fact that there are videos online showing what is going on all around. I was so surprised, but it seems
Facebook has removed the flags.
Yes,
now.
Yes, they have
because of all the public outcry.
Probably because of that, and
it's crazy.
Considering their precedence about how they treat fake news, it's really.
But so far, it's looking like so Facebook and Instagram seem to be on the playing safe. Twitter is because of Jack Dorsey's tweets validating the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be taking a stance. We're not sure of Google's stance, but
yet.
Something happened with them.
Yeah,
Arise News YouTube channel. Their live stream. Yeah.
Yeah, the live stream feed for Arise News was taken down, and so during this period now, the media coverage of the whole killing and the shooting and the protest has been inconsistent, for want of a better word. I don't want to use a more derogatory term, but it has been inconsistent and it has been strange.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think Arise News, according to reports we saw, they took it upon themselves to go to the venue and started interviewing protesters, showing live feeds of what really happened during the shooting of October 20th. And multiple reports on social media, if you see some of the way people are talking, you will see that people actually trust, and
there seem to be a general positive perception,
yes,
about Arise TV being the only one reporting the news as it is.
Yes. So it felt strange when we saw that the live feed has been taken down. So when we talked to our source at Arise TV, they were saying the feed was taken down because of copyright infringement. And
what does that even mean?
They said this thing, the music they used, a short music they used in the video, was copyrighted or something. So, and Google actually does not, according to their policies, if the video is being is violating a copyright, someone has to report it. So it's most likely that someone reported that
there
channel.
Was targeted reporting,
yes,
for the
targeted
music,
reporting of Arise
not
TV.
Because of what
they've been using
that
music for years or months. Nothing has ever happened.
Wow.
Meanwhile, and I know that Google has artificial intelligence that even without people reporting,
using
music that appears to be infringing on copyright, they can automatically flag it. So, and then what I even read, because when you try to click on the YouTube live stream of Arise TV to open it, what it says is this video.
Yeah, it violates our terms of service.
Yeah, terms of service, which is very interesting.
Okay, yeah. So I think it's even showing on the page that there was a problem with the server 404 or something. But apart from that, so the whole thing is a bit confusing when you link it to what happened with Facebook and how they flagged events from the massacre or the shooting as false, then Google removing this for violation. But the Arise News live feed is still active on their website, it's still active on Twitter,
Okay, but they're not serving it via YouTube.
They're not serving it via YouTube, yeah.
So, and that YouTube link was probably the most popular one.
Yeah, so, yeah, most likely.
Oh, they have a live feed on Twitter with Periscope, right?
Yeah, I think so. And
so it's still working on Twitter and still working on their website directly without YouTube.
Yes, yes. And of course, we have to consider that the YouTube live feeds and the live feeds online was what will likely benefit people that are not in Nigeria, who cannot receive TV stations here with cable TV channels. Yeah. So Nigerians in diaspora can actually catch up with what is going on with this kind of admittedly or reportedly factual events from Arise TV. But I don't know. Probably we'll have to wait for a whole week before we see it.
This is crazy because all of this is now even bringing, it's making it more, should I say, realistic or expected or not too far-fetched that we may be nearing an internet shutdown if things don't cool down.
Yeah.
And then there was somewhat of a scale of something related on during the Lekki massacre on October 20.
Yeah.
So, about service disruption.
Yes, yes, a lot. So during that period when the shooting started, like around 9, we started seeing reports on social media that network is getting bad, though. Especially, we're getting reports from some MTN and Airtel users. Strangely enough, some MTN users in Lekki were still saying their network is moving fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, then in parts of mainland, MTN was good in some places. MTN, in my own place, for instance, MTN became very bad, Glo became very bad, Airtel became very bad. And it's not funny. So I was thinking, is it finally happening? Is it going to happen or not? So
I knew, right?
So around 11:53 p.m., MTN released a statement that they apologized for the inconveniences that the network disruptions they witnessed around Lekki, VI, and Oniro area of Lagos was because of auxiliary power failure. And the engineers are working to try and fix it, but they are not able to fix it because of the limitation of access. And it's not just MTN, as I just learned a few minutes ago before I joined this podcast, out on the Association of Licensed Telecom Companies, saying, we are sorry for the inconvenience, we've not been able to repair. So I think generally the network has been slightly slower than it should be.
But MTN deleted that tweet. Why would MTN delete the tweet where they acknowledged that they were having service disruptions on the night of Lekki massacre?
It caused a lot of backlash.
On the night of the killings, of the shootings.
There are a lot of things that happened that night that were looking beyond coincidence. I even saw that the emergency call lines were also out. They actually released their own
And ambulances
statement.
Were also not allowed to enter.
Yes, they released their own statement before the incident started, that the call lines are not going, that they can be reached through WhatsApp numbers. So there are a lot of things that happened that were not just coincidences, and thinking about them hurts more than what actually happened. For people thinking that this is actually premeditated, I don't think they are wrong. I don't think they are wrong to think that this is premeditated.
What's even scary now? What's even looking very scary? So we might not see a widespread internet shutdown because that might cripple the economy, but we might see something similar to what happened at Lekki. At a particular time when a particular havoc is happening, they can switch off the cell sites in that area. And there will be network disruptions in that area. So anyone who wants to broadcast at that time might not be able to do so. So it stands within the realm of reason, given everything we've seen so far. And personally, most of these things happening are not surprising. Most of these things are close to home if you live in the southeast or south-south area of Nigeria. But of course, now they are doing it blatantly in open air.
And to think that during a time where technology is at our reach and we felt like that is the advantage we have over the previous generation,
and now
we don't even know if it's an advantage that there's now a way to bypass it, that to put us at a disadvantage. in fact,
I was discussing with some members of my parents' generation, and they're like, they've never seen, even in the military regime, where protesters, peaceful, unarmed protesters, are fired at.
Wow.
Most times when protests are happening, it's usually, okay, the protesters are rioting, they are fighting, they are attacking, then army fires back. But people are standing peacefully. What the military...
They're sitting singing?
Yes, singing the national anthem, apparently. What the military guys reportedly did was to carry the leaders of those protests and imprison them, threaten them, and all that. But blatantly shooting at... Oh, no, that's...
totally out of it. Protesters. I don't know if I will recover from this or my generation will, but I just know it's going into the history that on the 20th of October, Nigerian unarmed protesters that have been protesting peacefully for more than 2 weeks were fired at, and we can't even confirm the number of casualties.
Casualties. Of course, the Lagos State governor went on TV to say there are no casualties. Although he has tweeted, I think he tweeted later on Thursday
that one, they can because confirm of brute one force. Casualty. No. People, we saw it.
And you know what is even weird to me? The fact that the Lekki toll gate where this happened was one of the most peaceful and most organized
protests so far.
Protest points. Why is it there particularly that this happened? These shootings happened. It's really confusing and depressing.
I was just thinking, what hurt me more was not because people died. That hurt really bad. But what hurt me more was that will people still get justice despite all the glaring facts that we have? That was the part that hurt me, because for this length to be gone to silence protesters, how would you get justice for them? It's really sad. I'm just hoping that this hope that I had last week will come back. I don't know. I'm giving up already. I am.
Yeah. Whatever. So that's the thing. Whatever it is, we cannot give up hope. We need to regroup and then re-strategize. I think that's one thing that is very clear now. I mean, we've learned from whatever has gone on with this. We'll respect the curfew. We enjoy everybody to respect the curfew, stay at home. Once the curfew is lifted, we're going to figure out how to go about this. I think we cannot afford to lose hope right now. We've gone too far
to lose hope.
We've gone too far to lose hope, to give up on it. But, I mean, with all the bad news and all of that, there's still some good news going on. So let's use that one to, help ourselves to, remember that there's hope. And even point to it that the youth are actually doing things. They are not lazy.
Yes.
Last week, just after we recorded the podcast, the news of Paystacks as acquisition by Stripe, a US-based fintech company, was announced for over $200 million. I'm sure everybody has heard the news by now.
Yes.
Because even that last week, people were using it as examples like, okay, because one of the co-founders has tattoos, wears dreadlocks, paints his nails, and all of that, and that's Ezra Olubi. And people were like, okay, he could have easily been a victim of the brutality, because they would profile him. But he's running a company that has been found, that he founded 5 years ago, being acquired for $200 million by a US company. That's a lot of validation, and it's really good news.
A lot.
I mean, Heritage, you had a story on what this means for us, the ecosystem, the Nigerian startup ecosystem.
So after the news broke out, right, everyone started talking about different things on Twitter and, what it means for the tech ecosystem, for the investors, for startups, for founders. And so basically just brought it to like five things five points of what it means to the Nigerian tech ecosystem. So the first being the validation of, our efforts for startups, for founders, for the ecosystem in general. Like, we saw how the story is like how these guys started from 2014 and how they ride it around to get support from investors, from local investors. And now those local investors are reaping the benefits of, their investment. So when, for example, when Jumia IPO'd, right? we thought that mm-hmm. we might not get an exit in the next maybe 5 years because of how, you know, things were mm-hmm. and everything. But so, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that Paystack's exit is coming at this point, 5 years after the launch. And it brings the, like, it opens like the floodgates of different things to happen. So local investors will invest more, hopefully, especially the high net worth ones. I mean, after the announcement, we saw a couple of tweets, a couple of WhatsApp messages flying around about people wanting to key in to find like the next Paystack and everything, because $200 million is like mm-hmm. a big deal. It's like $19 billion. So it's
huge.
Interesting.
It's
and
huge.
90 million naira, you mean?
90 billion naira. Yeah, 90 billion naira.
Yeah.
So it brings like a lot of for the high net worth ones, maybe this will bring them on the table and they will seek to invest more in local startups. Then for the foreign ones, Paul Graham made a statement, the co-founder of YC, Y Combinator, a very popular early yeah. stage accelerator in the US, because he invested in Paystack, 120K and a follow-up round. So he like sent a message to his fellow US investors saying, for those that think the Nigerian market is not viable enough, something like, as in they are missing out on something huge because Stripe is taking this chance on them, yeah, on Paystack and entering the Nigerian market, entering the African market. So we might see more foreign investors coming in and putting in more money because Paystack has shown that, you know, there can be an exit in mm-hmm. in Africa, especially in the fintech.
In the African tech space.
Yeah, fintech space.
But then, because that even brings me to like about if mm-hmm. They exited a bit too early.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I don't think that everybody has their own opinion. I think that conversation is very, what's the word? Is it too early to be having that kind of conversation?
Right.
This has never happened. There's never been any, this amount, a startup has never been acquired for this amount. So it's a first,
mm-hmm.
and given all the economic uncertainties in the country and in Africa in general, even with the protests that are happening now,
yeah.
for something like that to happen in the midst of all of this,
expected.
And someone is asking if it's too early.
Is it?
No, come on, it's not.
I think it's
that,
a very
that question
big for
is not. It's not time for that question at all.
At all.
Maybe later, maybe after we have like, we've had like two or three short exits, then we can start talking about, was it too early? This is just a new ecosystem that is just starting out. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is supposed to be celebrated. Around. No criticism against it.
It is not time for that question at all, as far as I'm concerned.
So yeah, it's good news for us. And the fintech, mm-hmm. other fintech players.
It's not just for Paystack. This success is not just for Paystack. It's for
at all.
It's for the whole of Nigeria, even Africa ecosystem. I was so elated when I saw it. Yes, it was. It's huge. It's huge. We hope to see more of it.
So yes, the fintech guys in particular, we see. I think they're like the apple of the Nigerian tech ecosystem eyes, since they get more funding and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like they might get more acquisition like in their own sector more than any other sector, because of, you know, most of them just replicate mm-hmm. things from the US or the UK, you know, developed countries, right? And we have Stripe for Africa, have I think PayPal for Africa is, I don't know if it's InterSwitch or was it Visa, there is also Cash App for Africa, there is Brex for Africa, there is Chime for Africa. So all these fintech guys abroad, they have like their people that replicated them in Nigeria, in Africa, right?
Enough.
So we might see them, you know, instead of expanding, they might just acquire these local guys. But first, they might need to have the relationship.
You mean they'll acquire them to enable expansion?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because they
expand after acquiring. Aside that, fintech startups have always been at the receiving end of the highest funding in Africa. Mm-hmm. I think two Partex reports ago, maybe 2018 and 2019, they recorded that fintech startups got the highest number of funding.
Yeah, even in our decade reports, so it's 5%. Like they had throughout
exactly.
I
think the future is
throughout the past 10 years.
In the last 10 years, yes. So hopefully,
FinTech is really still the hot thing right now.
It's still the hot thing.
So, but personally, I don't know, I might be wrong, but I may be skeptical about most startups.
You are skeptical. Building their mood.
Wait now. I may be startup about most startups that build their model around XXX for Africa. I don't know.
There should be skepticism there, but at the same time, I think these guys are putting.
When you're thinking of exit and you see that this is a problem for Africa and there's a product for it elsewhere that is not Africa, you can replicate it. I don't know. I think those are the two reasons that comes to mind when you think of exit, sometimes in the future, by acquisition. Then when you think of there is this problem in Africa and there's another product that is not for Africans that can solve the problem. Why not replicate it?
Okay, I also think that there's really no problem with having this of Africa or that of Africa, because again, it's about your interpretation of that solution, how you are solving it via from a perspective of local knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's not forget, some people seem to forget this is and it's almost like an acqui-hire sort of, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Paystack will still continue to run on its own.
It will, yeah.
And we don't have all the information, but from how most of these kind of acquisitions work, for example, what I'm expecting and what I think is that the co-founders, Shola and Ezra, will probably get board seats on Stripe, or maybe one of them will get a board seat, depending on the
agreement,
how the acquisition was. So either one of them or both of them get a board seat. Or maybe none of them do, but they are definitely going to get stuck in Stripe. So they have a stake in Stripe.
I really don't think they'll get bought, but like I think the stock thing will work.
Yeah, exactly. And then of course the stock they will have, because they will continue building Paystack, they'll continue running Paystack on their own until Stripe is ready to now swallow that brand name into Stripe. That may take maybe 4 or 5 years. So they will still need them to be working on the solution, because they still need the ground knowledge that they have, the knowledge of Nigeria and Ghana that they have.
I mean, expanding to South Africa,
they still need that
another African market.
Exactly. Yeah. So they still need that tire on the road knowledge, right? And of course, maybe over five. So maybe the shares, the stock that the co-founders may have in Stripe, will be vested over say 4 or 5 years, which means they can't even claim that amount. So some people are even in 200 million, and they are thinking there's money in their pockets. It's possible there's not much in their pocket, so maybe they just got a very tiny fraction of that to be okay, you know, maybe they need to get a new house or something. While the rest of it, depending on their stake, so let's say their stake in Paystack was maybe 20% or 30% combined at the time of the acquisition, which means they are getting like 60 million of that 200 amount is supposed to come to them. Some of that may be actually be in stock, so and it's vested over a number of years where they must still continue to run things until that time they can now leave
fully cash
or
out.
If it's vested for 5 years and they stay for 2 years, maybe whatever amount that's vested within those 2 years they can cash that one out. So there's probably not much money in their pocket right now, and they still have a lot of work to do. That's something that people are forgetting.
But I did hear somewhere that it might have been a cash deal, but I'm not too sure about that.
That may be a what?
That might have been a cash deal, the 200 million.
Totally cash deal. Well, we don't know. We can only speculate. Okay. We don't know.
Also, Stripe IPO, they can cash out bigger and everything. Yeah.
That's of course. That. Cash is,
the future
Stripe
is really bright.
Yeah, so maybe their shares are vested until Stripe IPO. That's another possible agreement, something in the agreement. Anyway, it's good news, but it's the more reason why we cannot lose hope and we have to keep fighting, because if we don't fight against police brutality and profiling and everything that is going on, these things will still continue and people will still be afraid to build innovative stuff like this that will get acquired. So this fight is not over. It's really not over. We can't afford to lose hope. Right now, I know we are down, we are sad, we are depressed. That is expected. But we are going to regroup and we are going to think about the best way we can handle this going forward, how it cannot be hijacked by hoodlums or thugs.
And the
all
government.
Of that is very important. Exactly, it's very, very important, and I just want everybody that's listening to remember that. And because over the past 2 weeks it seems our focus has been only Nigeria, it's because this is what is going on in Nigeria right now is very, very important. And I think the whole world is watching, even Africa is watching. And yeah, I just want to apologize for our non-Nigeria listeners that everything has been so focused on Nigeria. But I mean, Vistac is an African company.
Yeah.
They have presence in Nigeria, they have presence in Ghana, and they'll be in South Africa soon. And their success is going to definitely bring more success to the African tech ecosystem.
Sure.
So it's good stuff, really good stuff. So yeah, I think on that note, I think we'll wrap up today. And again, okay, I don't want to say any last words or whatever. I leave that to us as we normally do. But first of all, let's remind people who are probably listening for the first time or will they're listening where else, where they can get the podcast, Emmanuel.
If you are listening for the first time, don't forget you can get this podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. And please, if you've been following us on SoundCloud, don't forget you might no longer see new episodes on SoundCloud. So you can just check out almost anywhere else you get your podcasts. And don't forget to like, share, and drop a review. And please share with your friends and even your enemies too. And we'll all be fine.
Yeah, we'll all be fine. I love that. Parting words, NFME and Heritage.
Let's keep hope alive. I'm saying that to myself too, as I am to everyone. Let's keep hope alive. We'll get there. We achieve the freedom we are looking for.
I love that. Keep hope alive. Heritage, any stuff?
Stay safe, everyone. We'll meet again.
Yeah, till we meet again.
Okay, yo. So before we go, please, with all the things going on in Nigeria, let's not forget, Congo is currently bleeding. Like a lot of killings are going on in Congo. Like I'm seeing reports, though unconfirmed. I'm seeing pictures of dead people on social media, and it's a very, very terrible thing. I think thousands of people have been killed so far. I'm pretty not sure what's going on over there. So yeah, but I don't know what's going on. But I think we should pray for all of Africa. It's not just
Nigeria.
Not just Nigeria.
Africa is going through an awakening. That's what I choose to see it in that positive light. That Africa is going through an awakening. So let's keep our thoughts and prayers towards the guys at Congo, everyone at Congo, and of course everyone in Nigeria and everywhere across Africa, everybody that is being oppressed and going through all of that. Let's keep the hope alive, and we'll be back next week. So thanks for listening, and I think we'll say goodbye now. So bye.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.